1 Corinthians, returning to chapter 7 this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 17 through 24. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 17 through 24. What is the Lord's word for us this morning? Beginning in verse 17, he says this: "Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk. And thus I direct in all the churches. Was any man called circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Let each man remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each man remain with God in that condition in which he was called." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we speak on and think much on the reality that your word is truth. Lord, there's no wisdom in the world. Only wisdom from you. You contain it all. That's because you are the source of truth and you reveal it to us through your written word. What grace and mercy. You didn't owe man anything. And we in our sin and rebellion are in darkness, and you could have left us in darkness. You could have not spoken a word to us. Let us go on in our condemnation and suffer the wrath that we rightly deserve. But by your grace and mercy, you sent the Word, the living Word in Jesus Christ. And Lord, then you speak from your throne in heaven and you send the light to reveal Christ through your written Word. So applicable for your people. This is where wisdom and truth, it's here. So, Lord, nothing I speak of my own is going to produce anything, but your word's powerful. And I pray it would come with power this morning. And it would speak to each one of us right where we are. Because, Lord, your amazing word can speak to our hearts. We're all in different situations, but the truth is eternal. And you can address each one of us right where we are. This is your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your power on display. So I pray by the power of your Spirit you would address our hearts and minds this morning. I don't know where everybody's hearts and minds are. I know as I studied this and contemplated this word was very applicable. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal the application to everybody here where they need it. And the result would be that we get more of you. The result will be that Christ would reign even more in our hearts and minds, and that we would become more unified in that, and we would become more holy and more loving and all the things that come when Christ truly is ruling in us. So, Lord, may Christ come through your truth today in the hearts of your people. Make yourself a people that reflects the image of Christ as we live out our lives here. Call our hearts and minds to what's important. Lord, give us truth so we can reject the lies of the enemy. He's a deceiver. He's been a deceiver since the beginning. He blinds us with his lies. Lord, cast out your light so that we might see and know how to live by your truth. All to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Contentment. You know, that state of being satisfied, happy with your conditions in life, with your circumstances in life, that's hard to attain to. It's almost impossible for the unbeliever, but it's also very difficult for the believer. We're just all tempted to believe, right, that true satisfaction, well-being, happiness, it's over there somewhere. We're tempted to believe that, oh, I can only have contentment if this was different about me, right? If only the circumstances of my life were different, then, oh, all would be well. So because of that belief, that temptation, we're always discontent so much of the time. When we're discontent, we're striving. Striving to change things because, man, that's where it's at. Corinthians were not immune to discontentment. Corinthian believers also were susceptible to this wrong thinking that true contentment and well-being, even in the Lord Himself, it's over there. The conditions, this isn't right. It should be different. That they were tempted in this. You know, and I've called out many times, you got to remember it's a brand new group of believers. God just came with the gospel and it's like He made a people out of all these unbelievers. I think that even increased this because they were born again all of a sudden and they began to see the world differently. They knew what right and wrong was all of a sudden. And right and wrong, they go, well, that's not right. And so they were struggling with the way things they knew ought to be and what the way things were in their life, and they were just discontentment was there. I think Paul really understood this. The Holy Spirit, of course, reveals what he needed to see, but I think Paul understood that the catalyst behind many of the questions they were asking him was discontentment. They failed to see that well-being was not in the change of circumstances that they were all desiring. So because of that, here in our passage, you know, it's kind of like, what is this? We've been talking about all these questions that they had for Paul, and he's been giving them answers. And right here in a minute, right here in the middle of it, squeezed in it, we're going to go back to marriage next week. But right here in the middle of it, he's got this. I think Paul knew this is what they needed. I got to address this wrong thinking. And so he does that here in this passage by giving what I would call, I'm going to break it down into three, what I would call guiding principles for contentment. Not exhaustive, but three here in this passage. And of course, they're going to be, if they're guiding principles and they're from based on the Word, it's going to be eternal. It's not just for the Corinthians, it's for all believers. So they're very applicable to us too. And if we have our training or our thoughts trained by the Word of Truth, by these principles, I think it would go a long way with to help us fight the temptation to be discontent with our circumstances, our conditions in life. So what are these guiding principles? What could help us? And as Paul spoke truth into the Corinthians' life. Well, the first one is this. it's so important that we need to understand that our life circumstances are not a mistake. They are not random, but they are God-given. Our circumstances are not random. They are not a mistake, but they are God-given. Look at verse 17. Only as the Lord has assigned to each, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk, and thus I direct in all the churches. Now, before I get into this truth, I just believe the passage screams at us here. I want to talk about the overall principle. There's an overall principle Paul begins with here. He ends with it. It's in the middle. There's this universal principle that's just going to be the theme of this passage, and it's the theme of this sermon. And it's a universal principle. I say it's universal because notice he ends that verse. He says, and thus I direct in all the churches. What Paul wanted them to know is what I'm speaking to you here, what I'm going to tell you, instruct you in, it's not just for you. I tell this to all believers, all churches. It's universal. It's for all believers. What's this principle I speak of? Again, the one that's just going to dominate this. Well, it's this, is that Whatever circumstances you find yourself in when you're saved, be satisfied with those circumstances and focus on serving the Lord where you're at. Right? That's the principle that's driven here through this. Who were you? How were you when God called you? Oh, okay. Walk in that manner. You see what he says? That's what he means when he says, as God has called each, and you know calling means salvation here, as God has called each in this manner, let him walk. And so the truth he's trying to scream at us through this whole passage is, who were you when you were saved? Okay, don't be consumed with trying to change that. Serve God in the circumstances you were in when he saved you. Now, why would Paul say that? Because he knew this truth. The circumstances we have in life are given to us by a sovereign God. He knew that they weren't in their circumstances by mistake. It was not random. It was not out of God's control. God gave it to them. That's what he says when he says, as the Lord has assigned to each. Do you see the correspondence there? Who were you when God called you? That's what God assigned to you. God is absolutely sovereign in His carrying out of His plan, and He has a plan for each and every one of His people. And so therefore the circumstances in our life are brought about by God Himself. If He's sovereign, He's sovereign. If there's something else working outside of His will, He's not sovereign. Therefore, your circumstances are brought about by God. Now, I know that as I say that, speak that truth, that some, maybe all, have a little bit of difficulty with that. It becomes a little unsettling. Why? We as fallen humans just really have a hard time coming under the sovereign control of God. We have a hard time not believing that we have some kind of control in life, don't we? We have a hard time with that. That really unsettles us. So because of that, when you hear this, and you may be asking, well, are there any other places that speak like this? I mean, really? Are you just going on? Scripture's full of these. The Old Testament prophets speak so much on the sovereignty of God in the lives of His people that you could easily reason this out. You know, I think of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It's sometimes often a theme verse to kind of take it out of context a little bit. But, you know, he speaks through Jeremiah to his people. I know the plans I have for you, right? And what he says, plans to profit you, right? For prosperity, for well-being, not for calamity. I have plans for you and I will work them out. And did you know who he's telling that to? He's telling that to the Israelites who have just been taken captive by the Babylonians and they're in exile. And he says, you go there and you live out your life in the circumstances I put you in. That's what he just told them if you look at the verses before that. And don't try to escape it. Live out the circumstances I just put you in because I know the plans I have for you and these are it. Trust me. Many, many, many passages like that. The one I want to really highlight, I think it's in the New Testament. Think of this. It's from Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. And it's from Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. And it can often be lost in his sermon here. But this is what he says. And he's speaking to all these lost people who did not know God. You know, they had the monument to the unknown God. They worshipped all kinds of gods. And he's trying to teach them about God. And he says this. It says, and he, of course God, made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Now, I could say a lot about it, a lot could be said about that, but do you hear what God does there? Paul's saying everybody, every human being that has ever lived and will live, he determines their times and the boundaries of the place they live. the circumstances of your life, time and place, God has determined them by His plans. All of this points to how God is sovereign in the circumstances of our life. This is so, I'm pointing this out, this is so important for us to understand, because if we don't, we will live in discontentment. If we don't see God as having a plan for our life and working out those circumstances in our life, we will live in discontentment, always trying to change them. And we'll be so frustrated when we can't. The Corinthians had this issue. They were asking all these questions. We're going to see that they had problems with different circumstances in their life, but we already see one big place they had it. What are all these questions about? Marriage. What was going on? Many of the Corinthians, again, I told you, they had desires to be different than they were in their marriage. Do you understand that? The ones that were single wanted to be married. The ones that were married wanted to be single. The ones that were married to unbelievers wanted to be married to believers. And so Paul saw that, and he's like, God's assigned to you the circumstances of your life. As you were called, serve Him in that and quit being consumed in trying to find a different circumstances in which you'll be happy. That's what Paul's telling us here. Now, it should go without saying it, but I got to because people go all kinds of places. Paul's not telling them, okay, if you were a thief when God saved you, just keep on being a thief. Right? If you were a prostitute when God saved you, just keep on prostituting. If you were a drunkard when God saved you, no. Sin is to be forsaken. God didn't call you if you're going to keep on living in sin. It calls you out of sin. That's obvious. That wasn't the issue with the Corinthians at all. Right? That's not the issue. Their issue was social conditions and circumstances in their life. They were just not content. So Paul says, as you were called, walk in that manner. Now, as I proclaim this, teach this, expound on this truth, I do know, I'm sensitive to the fact that, now this is, it's hard. As I said, contentment's hard anyway, right? Because we're a what-if people. If only, we're always that way. But boy, it really gets hard and difficult when your life circumstances are hard. You hear me? I'm not immune. I'm not hard-hearted here. I get it. Some people's life circumstances are harder than others. They have difficulties. Some people find themselves in circumstances in their life where they have some pain. And you may even be put in life circumstances where you're vulnerable. And you suffer at the hands of sinful people, right? And you go, how can that be God's plan? I know that it's difficult to come to. And the temptation here is not just to be discontent and if only, but when you can't change what you want to change, you can become angry. And you're angry at God. You may not know it, but you are. Because God, you know deep down He is sovereign. And you wonder why? And if you're not careful, this happens. You can give yourself to this anger, and then you'll just live in rebellion to God. Why? I'll show Him. You're trying to get back at God somehow by going off and doing the exact opposite of what you know He wants you to do. Now, a person that gives themselves over to this kind of anger and living in rebellion to God because of they're missing it on at least two fronts. Missing a lot, but what were they not seeing? Well, one, they're not seeing the reality that you cannot get back at God. No matter what you do, you cannot hurt Him. The only one you hurt is yourself. It's what I believe the Lord was kind of revealing to Paul when He came and saved him out of his persecuting the church. And He said, oh, Paul, it's hard to what? Kick against the goad. Do you know what He's telling him? Every time you kick at me, you hurt yourself. That's what He's telling him. And that's exactly what goes on. When we're in anger and we're just living in rebellion to God, we're kicking against Him and we hurt ourselves every time. So you need to understand that. And number two, a person that gives themselves and starts to live that way, they're just not believing and trusting the reality that God is good and He's always good. And for His people, He will work out every circumstance that He has brought into your life for your good. Even these hard circumstances, even these ones that you look around, it's like, why did they get those circumstances? And I get, yes, even those very difficult circumstances, you look at how can that God be God's plan? He will work it out for your good. And that's the call. We've got to trust Him in that, that in the end, He will work it out for your good. If you'll trust Him, have to trust it. And I know that's difficult, as I said, when life seems to deal you a much more difficult hand than what you see others. But one of the keys to contentment, and I'm just, don't look at other people. Don't be looking around, well, they got this. That just breeds discontentment. And it's not trusting. God has a unique plan for you. It's not the same as those other people. Remember Peter? Jesus, after His ascension, He's with them on the beach there after, you know, they were fishing. That's Jesus, and they swam to meet Him. He had fish. He tells Peter in that episode, He says, Peter, when you're older, you know what's going to happen to you? They're going to lead you away to a place you don't want to go. And he knew what that meant. That means that he was going to die. They were going to take him and kill him for his faith in Christ. He knew that. Hey, what did Peter do automatically? Saw John. What about John? What about John? What does he mean by that? He means, is that going to be true of him too? I mean, that's only fair. You're going to take me and I'm going to... Is the same going to be true of John? What did Jesus say to him? What's that got to do with you? What if I want John to live till I come back? That has nothing to do with you. You follow me. And what he means is, I've got a call on your life and a plan for your life that's unique to you. All you're called to do is follow me in it and trust me, and in the end it'll work out. That's His call for all of us. God has a plan that's unique for you, designed for you by a perfect, perfectly wise God, and it's not the same as everybody else. And so we're not called to look around at everybody else and say, happiness, why? No, that's hard. I know when the circumstances are, but we've got to trust our God. He has a plan for you. The circumstances in your life are not random. They're not a mistake. They're not out of His control. They're from Him, by Him, and for you, and for your good, for His glory most, but for your good too, if you're His. Got to trust that. If you don't trust that, you will not be able to be content. You will not. Because your circumstances are always something that you really control, and only if I can get to these other circumstances will I be content. Understand. The circumstances are God-given. Lord has assigned to each one as He's seen fit. That's one. Second guiding principle, our focus needs to be on the internal, not the external. You understand what I'm saying? Look at verse 18 and 19. Was any man called already circumcised? Well, let him not become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? Well, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is what? The keeping of the commandments of God. Now, here Paul gives us the first example of two that he's going to give us of what it looks like to live in discontentment in the wrong way, as he's trying to correct their thinking. And this example is Jew and Gentile. That's what he's talking about here. Circumcised and uncircumcised. Apparently, there were Gentiles, as you could imagine, who were being saved, and they began to believe that they needed to be more Jewish. And you know that from the reading Paul's letters. This was a struggle with many of the Gentiles, as they would be led away by the Judaizers and led to believe that you could really only be godly by being a Jew. You needed to be, so they began to want to follow all the rich ceremonial laws, even to the point of what? Becoming circumcised. And so they were being deceived into thinking that what mattered is the outward part. Like, I've got to obey these rituals and even become circumcised, and that's what's going to matter to God. They were being deceived in that. Instead of what? focusing on serving Christ as a Gentile, because that's who God made him to be. God didn't make a mistake. So Paul's telling them that. Same thing for the Jews. In many parts of the Roman Empire, it was an embarrassment to be a Jew. It was even dangerous in some parts. And so because of that, some of the Jews wanted to be a Gentile. They didn't want to be a Jew. They didn't want that. And so they began to try to reject their who they were and try to be Gentile. Some even went through a drastic surgery that was supposed to reverse circumcision, make it look like you didn't have it. They would literally do this. Yeah. They wanted to not be Jewish so bad. Listen, yes, a Jew, when he's called to faith and he's truly saved, he's called to change some of his beliefs that he, instead of getting caught up in the traditions of man, but he's never called to reject who he is as a Jew. So Paul's point with all this, were you a Jew when you got saved? Be a Jew. Were you a Gentile when you got saved? Be a Gentile. Why? Because circumcision means nothing and uncircumcision means being Jewish or Gentile doesn't matter in the end when you stand before God. That's not what's going to matter. That's outward. What's going to matter? Obedience to the commandments of God. That is serving God from the heart. And can you do that as a Jew or a Gentile? Absolutely. So here's Paul's point, I believe, in what he's teaching us here, is that our focus needs to be not on our outward circumstances and trying to be someone or something else than rather than what we are, but it should be serving God from the heart, obeying His commandments by faith, serving Christ from within, no matter what your outward circumstances are. And if that's our focus, then we won't be consumed with trying to change our outward circumstances, even to the point of not being Jewish or Gentile, being the other. We need to focus on the inward, not the outward. And the inward is serving God from a heart of love and devotion in His Word. That's two. Number three, and this is kind of a restatement, I'll get to that. We need to be content in our circumstances, no matter what they are, and just focus on serving Christ. We need to be content in our circumstances, no matter what they are, and just focus on serving Christ. Look in the verses 20 to 24. Principle restated. Paul restates it here very matter-of-factly. So I know you, this is what I've been, hopefully what you've been hearing in the sermon. It's the theme of the passage. It's the theme of the sermon. Whatever your circumstances are, seek to be content in those and focus on serving Christ. That's what we just left. He restates it here, but he does it by giving us a second example. It's a powerful example. And that's why I say we got to be able to be content in our circumstances no matter what they are. And I'll explain. Paul's second example here is slavery. Now that's one of those circumstances in life that we would probably deem right, well, way down there, right? That we would desperately want out of. Desperately. And Paul here gives us instruction. He says, were you a slave when you got saved? Don't worry about it. You see what he says? I mean, he prefaces it with, let each man remain in the condition in which he was called. And then he says, what do you mean? Well, this is what I mean. Were you called as a slave? Do not worry about it. What does he mean? Don't be consumed and focused on trying to break free from your slavery. No, focus on serving God from the heart. That's what matters. Now, Paul in no way here is approving of slavery by what he's saying. And Paul is in no way here saying slavery is a good condition. He's not saying that. That's not his point. He even says, right? He says, if you can become free, then do that, right? If it's possible for you to leave slavery, I'm not telling you to stay on purpose. If it's possible, go ahead and be free. But his point is, that's not what's important in your life. If you're a slave and that's the condition you're in and you can't get out of it, then serve God in that condition and don't be consumed and worried about trying to escape slavery. Well, that's not what you hear today, is it? Again, this doesn't approve of slavery. It doesn't say it's a good condition, but this even points to the worst of conditions that we can think of. If that's where God's put you, serve God there. That's what Paul's saying. He even goes on to say, he says, what should be your thought in this? If you were a slave when you got saved, remember this. In the Lord's eyes, who are you? You're a freedman. See, what's worse, being a slave to man or being a slave to sin, being a slave to Satan, being under the condemnation and the wrath of hell? Paul's reminding them what's important. What's important is the state of your soul, and you've been freed by Christ, and you are no longer a slave to those things. So remember, even though you may be in these circumstances of being a slave to man, you're free before Christ, and that's what matters. So serve Him, even in the earthly condition of a slave, as a freed man to Christ. And then he says, and you people that aren't slaves, you're free, lest you be thinking that you're more favored than the others. No, what do you need to remember? Well, you need to remember that you're not free. You're a bond slave to who? To Christ. Why? Because He bought you with the price of His own shed blood. What's Paul's point here? Paul's point here is whether you're a slave or you're free, your focus is Christ. Not your condition of slavery or non-slavery. Your focus is, I'm free in Christ, I'm a slave. It's Christ. And when we're focused on Him and serving Him, then we're not consumed about our outward conditions. Again, it doesn't mean you don't ever change them for the better if you can. But that's not your focus. Don't let that consume you. Let serving Christ be what consumes you. Now, given all this, I want to kind of close here with some words of application, if they're not already obvious. Let's make sure we go. Number one, the most obvious. Don't spend your life trying to change your circumstances. Don't spend your life going, if only... my life was like this. If only the conditions in my life were like this. Don't spend your life going, if I only was married, if I'm not married, like the Corinthians. Or if only I was freed from this bondage of marriage that I'm in. Or if only I had that job. We don't ever do that, do we? If only I lived in that house. If only, don't waste your life trying to change your earthly stuff. Let not consume you. That will come from God, what He wants you to do. There's a huge difference in letting God move you and take you places and do things with you versus you striving to change those conditions, because contentment is found in those. Don't waste your life doing that. God will make your circumstances the way you need them to be. Pray and ask, God, give me, this looks bad to me. Can you pray? And God will answer. And you trust Him to bring what He will bring. But don't you waste your life consumed with trying to change your life circumstances, your conditions. Number two, see the lie of the social justice gospel. What does the social justice gospel tell us? We cannot have well-being unless the conditions of our life are changed. Right? Isn't that what they teach? All our effort needs to be going into changing people's life circumstances. The oppressed must be freed from the oppressor in all these different situations. And virtue is found, right, in all our efforts to make that happen. This is the social justice gospel. And I'm talking about from the church, not from the world. It's infiltrated the church, and they put it on par with Christ. Oh yeah, we got to know Jesus, but this is as big a part of it. That is the complete opposite of what the Apostle Paul has just taught us. The Apostle Paul has just taught us that your life circumstances are not the main focus. Not even close. What's the main focus? That you know and serve your Lord and your God through Christ Jesus. What do people need? They need Jesus. They need the gospel to set them free from sin and from Satan and the condemnation of hell. Now, I don't say that and go, okay, we're not to be involved in any good works and helping the poor and all those things. I'm not saying that at all. God commands us to do that. Why? To reflect His goodness, right? But the social justice gospel is a lie. It's another gospel, and it comes completely against what Paul just taught us. Try to match up the social gospel to Paul saying, were you a slave when you were saved? Then don't worry about it. That's the complete opposite. So don't see the lie of the social justice gospel. Christ and serving Him is what matters. Now this brings me to the third one. And I'll close with this. If we're going to be able to live in contentment the way Paul is teaching us, what has to be true? Jesus Christ has to be our treasure. Knowing and serving Christ has to be that which we consider that of surpassing value. Isn't that what comes and tempts us into discontentment? Something else becomes our treasure. That other condition, that's our treasure. If we're going to live in contentment, no matter what our circumstances, and again, I acknowledge sometimes life circumstances are hard. The only way that we're going to be able to do that is if Jesus Christ truly is the treasure of our heart, what we love, and who we seek. Isn't that what Paul revealed to us in Philippians? You know, Paul told us, he said, I've learned to be content. You remember that? He said, I have found the secret of contentment, whether I've got a little or a lot. Do you remember what that secret was? He said, I can do all things, that is, I can be content no matter what, through Christ who strengthens me. Brothers and sisters, that's it. That's the key. Paul's trying to remind them. Your heart and mind's over here. You're worried about your marital status. You're worried about whether you're a slave or not. You're worried about whether you're over here or that. And no, that's not where contentment is. Contentment's in knowing Christ. And Paul's saying, take my word for it. I've lived through it. I've lived through the high times and the low times. And serving Christ is the secret to contentment. May we truly believe that and live according to that truth. And if we do, we can confess along with Paul, I can do all things through Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Your word's true. I pray You would continue to work Your fruit out in our hearts and minds and our lives. Lord, is this not where he leads in his deceit? It's always to cause our eyes to be focused on something we haven't been given. Just like in the garden. Do you say you couldn't have that fruit? And we think, oh, there it is. There's where true contentment is. Well-being. Lord, help us to see the lie from the enemy and truly understand that what we need is Jesus. And Lord, if we have Him, we truly can be content in all things. Help us to see the lie of the enemy in the world today that it puts out there. Lord, help us to walk by Your truth. And may You make a people that point to You and You alone. Lord, help us to have one witness, one voice. And that is the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ and living for Him and serving Him. May You receive all the glory. Father, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.